Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. Today on the show, we will review Tim Burton's Batman, which is available right now on Netflix Watch Instant. There'll be spoilers on that movie, FYI. Also, it's from like 1989 or something. So just like, what's up with you if you're worried about it? But you know what I also want to say? So many people come up to Rhea and I. I'm sure this is true of Ricky as well. I'll ask him in a moment. So many people come up to Rhea and I when we're traveling and they say, we love your show. And they say it to our faces. And I love to hear it face to face. But there is another thing that you could do that would perhaps be even more valuable than that wonderful face-to-face time, and that is you could go on to iTunes, which is a music service offered by the Apple Corporation that also provides for podcast streaming. I don't know if you know about this. It's on your phones if you have an iPhone, or it's on your computers if you have a computer at all. It's a cloud. There's a cloud. Please go on iTunes and review our podcast. Give it a 5-star review, the one that's deep in your heart that you love us so much. We're not even asking for money. We're not asking for hamburgers. We're not asking for veggie burgers. We're just asking for a 5-star review on iTunes, the one that you know you want to give us. Please, thank you guys so much. That would mean so much. And you know why you should do it? It is Thanksgiving week. And we are in the studio on Thanksgiving week giving thanks for you. And this is how you could give thanks for us. Just go on, pop on that old iTunes and give us a review. And we'll be back in just a moment with news, reviews, and things you can use. All right. Well, first of all, bit of news from the Wham Bam Pow family. Producer Lindsay got a new dog. Rescued from the street because Lindsay's a wonderful person. So please tweet your hashtag Wham Bam Pow sentiment of happiness about Lindsay's new dog. We love him. And that's Lindsay Pavlis, P-A-V-L-I-S. And you can say, yo, what's up, producer Lindsay? Enjoy your dog. She deserves it. She deserves the love of a pet and the love of you. Now, we got two great panelists on the show today. They are always panelists, and they are always great. We've got the shaved head spokesman. We got the buzz cut spokesman. We got the old cue ball. Wait, what do we say when somebody has no hair? But they're my Afro spokesman. What do you think, Ricky? What's your new...
When I had my hair like this, I used to be called Coco Pelau.
What does that mean?
That's like shaved coconut.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Coco Pelle. He plays the flute.
Is that right? Well, I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, like from... I don't know.
My flute knowledge stops at... Who was that guy back in the 80s who had the fucking commercials? The long hair.
Are you talking about...
Zoo head with a Z? I know what Zamboni is, but it's similar to that.
Wow.
You guys don't remember this guy?
This flute guy?
Yeah. There's some dude I remember. All like right. I would watch Star Trek
My
Next Generation
extent
episodes.
To flute knowledge is just the skin flute. And I don't have any knowledge of that.
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
Jethro
yeah,
Tull.
I always wonder where all the...
Why are you guys not talking about Jethro Tull?
He's too obvious.
Just hold
He's
the one
too much
hole
of a go-to.
End,
He's too much of a go-to.
And then the pee comes out the mouth.
Whoa. I just caught the tail end of that.
Well, we're still looking for a new
Coco
Pelau. Coco Pelau?
Coco Pelau is just... It's also fun to say. And then there's... There's a song, a Missy Elliott song, where at the end it ends with slick, 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 Rickenham. And I always slick Rickenham.
Slick Rickenham. Yeah. I like that. That's so nice.
Coco Pelau or slick Rickenham.
Coco Pelau.
I like Coco Pelau because it's fun to say.
Hey,
can I be introduced so I might suggest
Coco Pelau, the Ricky spokesman. I'm trying to get my accent on.
Coco Pelau.
Oh, see, the problem is at the end, Ricky leans back and does this thing with his head.
You gotta really get it out there.
So I wasn't raised in that family, and I really hope to learn someday how to toss my head back and get it all out.
Get that flavor
now,
out there.
Ricky is always so welcome, Ricky Carmona. So great to see you.
Well, what's popping? It's good to see y'all. What it do? Coco Pelau. I see, I like it.
And
I
then
like it.
Also, we've got Rhea, the Lady James Dean Butcher.
Hello.
What's
That's
that?
Me.
What do you now? Do you want to have a new name? Because he's Coco Palau. I mean,
actually, yeah.
What would you like to have?
I don't know. I don't know any new ones.
What about Pomplemousse? That means grapefruit in French.
Seriously, call me Pomplemousse. I'm into it. Rhea Pomplemousse Butcher.
J'ai un pomplemousse dans ma brassière. I said it in French, but with a Spanish accent, and it means I have a grapefruit in my bra. I can also say I have yogurt in my pants.
We'll say it.
J'ai la yurt dans mon pantalon.
Ooh. Ooh.
These are the things that you learn when you take 4 years of French.
Well,
now, Rhea.
I took 12 years of Spanish, and the only thing I know is the plot to Selena.
Well,
and
anyway.
El champú.
Sí. Champú.
Obre la ventana.
Sí.
Trabajar el fútbol.
I know this. I know. I say, hola, Brady. That's the whole thing. That's when I say to my little sister, because she
hola,
lives in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Then she puts her boyfriend on, then he goes like, yeah, yes. You know what's better? You faking Spanish than me faking Spanish. That's so much less like terrible.
It's fun.
So yeah. And Rhea, did you have another suggestion for Ooh. Ricky?
Well, I was going to say no fro spokesperson, Ooh. But I feel like that's too negative. So
no, I like it.
Coco Palau.
Coco Palau.
It was a lot better.
I like it. That's great.
It's like riding a ride when you say
you know
that.
What else is kind of amazing is that Rhea has our dog Murph on her lap right now. And
yep.
because
yep.
you're wearing gray t-shirt and he's wearing his gray thunder shirt, he kind of just looks like it's like two arms and a head
yeah.
just coming out of you.
We like are one.
A real...
Quaid. Quato.
Yeah, it's a real Quato situation.
Real Quato.
I love
Total
that
Recall.
Just completely falling asleep during all this
he's
mayhem
absolutely
as well.
Falling
he is. We're experimenting with drugging him because we
oh,
were going
right.
to take him.
He
that.
Is experimenting with drugs. He's tripping right now.
Well,
so.
We're taking him home to my parents' house for Christmas, so we're going to give him a little Benadryl to make the flight easier because he's a tiny chihuahua and he.
So it's nothing that hurts him.
Gets really no. shaken up, but
the only thing it's going to do is make him drowsy, which is. What we want to happen.
But
so.
The vet asked us to like test it before we take him on the thing. And mm-hmm. look at like Ricky, he's falling asleep
know,
like, with
great.
His arm up.
I know
he's just like, I'm so tired, I can't even.
I wish you guys could see
I
this.
I just don't even know. Maybe I'll take a photo.
I
someone take
taken,
a photo.
I might have taken a picture of it already. I'm just gonna
post it and then we'll have a visual.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's
I got a good one.
That's good.
Beautiful.
That's
glad good. We're recording this part too.
Yeah.
I'm sure people are going to be really excited
about
listening.
Keep it in the old lens.
This is behind the Instagram right here.
Behind La Musica.
See.
I don't know.
No,
okay, so
I don't even know what behind is in Spanish. That's ridiculous.
Atrás.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, guys, did you know that this week is Thanksgiving and the 49ers are going to play the Seahawks mm-hmm. and that during the game there's going to be a Jurassic World premiere footage trailer? And, okay. I have to be honest.
Here we go.
I'm pretty curious about this
Here
movie.
We go.
I hate watching trailers. I hate it.
You hate trailers in general?
I love them in the theater.
Okay.
I love them in the theater. It is perhaps my most favorite thing.
Yeah.
The trailers before a movie is like Christmas Eve, you know? Where it's just like, oh, like, when's he gonna come? What's he gonna bring? You know,
mm-hmm.
like it's... Ooh, you know, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But trailers at home, it just feels like I'm taking away from myself the opportunity to see that same trailer in the theater.
Mm.
I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah.
Sure.
I will say that because you saying that when I saw the teaser for the trailer to the new Jurassic World movie, I was like, "This is you're already off to a bad start with me. I don't want."
Because
want a trailer.
Of the existence yeah. of the teaser?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't like that there's teasers for trailers now.
And we've
sure.
talked about
that
this many times, and it continues to be, like, I mean,
I'm going to pose something about Jurassic Park, however.
All right.
Because I think I've typically been on the same side with you guys, that teasers for trailers are pretty ridiculous. Just give me the trailer.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Stop teasing
teaser.
Me.
Yeah. But for Jurassic Park... And now Jurassic World in particular, it's like a franchise that I think is totally okay to keep making movies for because who cares about 2 through 3 or whatever? But it's kind of out of the general public mind, you know? Like that that series.
You think it needs a rewatch?
So I think it actually does need, like, hey, this trailer's going to be played. And I also miss... Which
the best clever girls.
I just miss the, like, appointment television.
Yeah.
And putting a trailer on TV.
Should've started lower.
Is...
Keep going. I'm just doing a score.
It's really hard to speak over you singing.
Sorry.
Like the penguin from the Bud Ice commercials.
What?
You don't remember the penguin from the...
No.
Doobie, doobie, doo. That guy? Uh-uh. What?
Is that where I got that from?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's
Wait,
the...
But what were you saying? Before I was
what I was saying is,
you.
We live in a DVR world, and nobody sits
We're
down
material.
To catch Sweet Lord.
You're going to be able to get one thought out
sorry,
in this episode, Rhea.
Sorry.
I watched
Only
the teaser,
though.
And I really liked it. The score sounds pretty great. That's it. I'm going to watch the trailer on Thursday. I'm done.
I disagree with you. I think that movie does have the... Like, people know Jurassic Park, so them saying there's going to be a teaser for a trailer, like, you don't need, you're Jurassic Park. You don't need to
okay,
get
wait,
me,
but I will understand
hook
what,
me in that way.
I think maybe, I think I'm understanding what Rhea's saying, though, also, because I don't, okay, when we watched Jurassic Park, I don't remember, like, adults caring about it at all. I remember it was a very, like, kind of kid... And then, like, take your parents and stuff like that sort of thing. I just mean, like,
but
they might have to relaunch this. Our generation mm-hmm. is going to be really happy about this.
Yes.
But for a younger generation and yes. then for an older generation, I agree with Rhea that there might be a reason for a relaunch. Now that you bring that up, that makes sense to me mm-hmm. because, you know, a Thanksgiving football game is really when everybody watches together. And so you'll catch those young eyeballs that have never heard of this and you'll catch those, you know, 60-year-olds that just didn't care about it when it first came around
because they were 30 when it came out.
Yeah, they were like, I am a 30-year-old, I have to start having kids.
Jurassic Park came out 30 years ago. Can you believe it?
30?
Has it been 30?
No.
I was gonna say
I'm 100% kidding.
Wait, Rhea,
that's how scared we got there. No, I didn't
feel old.
I have not.
My back hurts.
I also am curious as to why you said that you think they can keep making movies in this franchise. Why is that?
Well, I won't give this away, but I did read some of their thoughts on the movie and what they were trying to do with it. And I think that their ideas behind what they're doing in this new episode of Jurassic Park is a really great idea. And I think it's like opening it back up again for like a new sort of science fiction, action-y, fish out of water sort of
you know,
audience.
I have to say that I think it is weird that dinosaurs, that they really have they cornered the whole market on dinosaurs? What's cooler than dinosaurs? I mean, in terms of movies.
Dragons?
Yeah, like dragons have happened and we've had
some
Godzillas
really, like,
and stuff like that.
They haven't really knocked dragons out in movies yet.
No, there's
right?
no
well,
like, there's no like
Rain
the dragon
fire?
Movie, you know, like
Rain
the way Jurassic
is, like,
Park
closest.
Is the dinosaur movie.
Yeah.
How to Train Your Dragon is
I just,
pretty
how
great.
To train your,
yeah, you're right. Okay, I just think Jurassic Park
well, they
and
did
also
the ultimate,
Land Before Time.
They did the ultimate thing, which is, what if we had dinosaurs now?
Yeah.
Done.
So
end of
you,
story.
You
there's like nothing else that you want to see.
Well,
you know?
Except you want to see that a million times.
It's, yeah,
I actually want to see that a million times.
It's
I
almost
totally
like saying,
it's a fascinating
can't
idea.
We have a bunch of different guys that dress up like bats? You kind of already made the one guy. You can't really just, I mean, but you can make him a million times if you want.
So there's, they mentioned that there's going to be like another trilogy of Jurassic
movies? No, everything that I read was just about this specific one, but
okay.
I'm taking from the choices that they made in this new movie
mm-hmm.
that I think that would be a great starting off point for more films in the
okay.
franchise
gotcha.
If they wanted to.
Well,
which they
very
will.
Interesting. And also, the Star Wars trailer is going to come out really soon. Did you guys
Friday.
See that? Friday.
Yeah.
What the hell? I didn't even realize they like started making that movie.
Oh, really?
You didn't?
I don't know.
Are you
I mean,
with
apparently
me?
You haven't been on the internet.
I mean, I knew about the cast and the pictures,
Come
but then
now.
I thought they were taking a little snack break. I didn't think they actually
no.
made the movie.
They, like, built a whole city in... Where mm-hmm. are they filming that? In Dubai?
I don't know where they are.
I don't know anything
I'm trying
about
to, like,
it.
Stay away
me
from
too.
News and just, like, I'll look at a couple pictures every once in a while.
That same picture of, what's his, J.J. Abrams standing... in the set with his hands together.
I've seen that photo
I've seen
a lot.
About a million times.
I've seen that picture a lot. I saw one picture of the dude from Girls in a uniform.
I'm so happy because I haven't seen any of this.
They're not like good
I mean,
pictures.
I know that I remember seeing the cast picture and then like I just didn't try to dig into it because I just want to kind of avoid it.
Yeah.
Avoid it?
Avoid it. You totally avoid it.
Avoid.
I saw a picture of the Millennium Falcon, but I mean, that, like, pictures of, like, the Millennium Falcon, it looked like the Millennium Falcon. I was like, yep, that's still it. Thanks.
Oh, boy. Well, this next movie is supposedly between between 3 and 4 in terms of episodes?
No, you skipped the wrong thing. The new movie is episode 7, but there's going to be another spinoff. In 2017, I believe.
It's very confusing.
And that's the one that Gareth Edwards is doing.
Yeah, it's a standalone film that's not going to be in the order of everything.
Okay,
that
doesn't matter.
Between 3 and 4.
So either way, I don't know anything about any of the Star Wars universe right now. I'm trying not to know anything. I just want to go in and buy all the Pez and take them at my house because I don't know if you know this about me, Ricky, but I have a complete Star Wars Pez collection.
I've seen a couple of Pez dispensers at your place. I don't remember.
2 Yodas.
Oh, I've got the whole thing. I've got the big guy, too. I've got the big guy.
It would have been great if you just opened up your jacket.
Well, I've got the whole thing. Roll. I've got a big R2-D2. He plays the theme song. Okay. And also, final news. Michelle McLaren? She's a director who's worked on Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones. She's been...
Lasso
delegated.
Of justice.
Yes. She's
like
been
that.
lassoed into directing and developing the new Wonder Woman film, which will come out in 2017. So, guys, relax. Get to it. I don't know the other words. When you wanna, the movie's coming
I think
out.
It's gonna be great. That's really exciting news. That's super exciting news, especially for how shitty like Wonder Woman stuff has been lately. I'm really glad that somebody whose work I have enjoyed and been surprised by recently, those episodes of Breaking Bad, particularly Gliding overall, was really great. I am excited that a woman is making this movie. It's super awesome to me.
Michelle, I've been down with you since the X-Files, girl. X-Files, that's what's up. She knows what that means.
Oh, did she do some of the X-Files?
She was in X-Files, yeah.
She's from that crew. In it?
No, she's from that crew of... Ray and I were talking earlier. She's from that crew of... Why do I keep forgetting what
is Chris Carter.
Vince Gilligan.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, Chris Carter.
Yeah, Chris Carter is the X-Files guy.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually Vince Gilligan came along. And other people, and those people eventually went on to do Breaking Bad.
Got it.
So she's part of that crew that started off in the X-Files and then went with Vince Gilligan to do Breaking Bad.
Well, I saw it. I'm so sorry
and she's
about
like,
yawning.
She gets like, there's certain directors who get like the big episodes throughout the season, and she was one of those directors where like, you're getting the big episodes this season.
I saw an episode of the X-Files today with Rhea because she had to watch it because she's doing Kumail Nanjiani's X-Files podcast for like the third or fourth time. I don't know.
X-Files.
But I will tell you that we were watching this episode of X-Files and a supernatural thing happened that kind of applies to this show. And something jumped out of somewhere. And I, Ricky.
Let me guess.
I did scream out loud.
What?
Out loud.
What?
She scared the dog.
Jesus.
He was terrified.
I don't know that I've ever screamed out loud at anything. It was just like some weird apparition or something that jumped out of a pool. It was the fact that he was coming out of the pool. I've been in a pool.
Whoa.
You know, now I'm like, this could happen in a pool.
Any pool you go
there
into.
There's a shadow on the ceiling, then there's a bad guy coming out of it. So I went right out of my screaming mouth and I couldn't believe it. And Rhea, you know, she stayed by my side. She didn't leave and move back to Chicago.
Wow.
I didn't. I stayed right here.
Well, we will be back in just a moment with a new Ricky segment. Right after this.
Hi, I'm Julie Sabatier. I host and produce a show called Destination DIY. It's all about people doing interesting things, and we're really excited to be bringing it to Maximum Fun. When you hear DIY, you might think of knitting or building a birdhouse, but we're really more interested in people doing stuff like hacking the healthcare system, creating their own currencies, building their own spacesuits, that kind of thing. We're here to remind you that you are an authority. And we think you're going to like our stories about makers, builders, inventors, and all kinds of creative people. Check out Destination DIY at MaximumFun.org or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Hey, folks. Now it's that part of the show where Ricky does his special segment called What's Poppin', and he's here today to give us a new edition of that segment.
Of What's Poppin', people!
Woo!
Woo!
Well, I need to like either like come up with like a break, like a beatboxing theme song or something, because in my head I hear What's Poppin', yeah, and drums are going off. You were just talking about New Edition came into the room, a dope-ass routine happened.
You should have your own theme song.
We should all have our own theme song.
Yes, yes.
If I could give the world anything, it's that we all have our own theme song,
goddammit.
Somebody
make me a Pamplemousse theme song.
Got that Pamplemousse!
Yeah. Give me that moose. Sorry.
I thought we would change it up on this one.
Ooh.
Because the last couple of times that I have eaten popcorn, I have not strayed off of the beaten path. Now, as everybody knows, when you make popcorn, when we talk about popcorn that's made on What's Poppin', don't come to me with that microwave oven hot mess nonsense. We don't make popcorn in the microwave like some animal.
How do you make
like,
it?
Like savages or cavemen.
Like savages.
That's
or
my favorite
cavemen.
Part.
We like grown ass people who have evolved over time, who have created fire. We use fire on the stove with a big ass pot, and you put some oil in there, or as I've been told, you can put some coconut oil in there. That's very healthy for you. You throw those kernels in there, you fucking throw some stank on it. Cover that lid, pop that popcorn, and it's on. And then you add whatever accoutrements you may like.
Ooh, accoutrements.
While you watch your movie. Now, usually as I watch a movie, I have a pretty good idea of, like, this movie's about this. So let's go this way with our popcorn. I try and match it up to whatever movie I'm watching. Now, when I watched Batman last night, it was very straightforward. Salt. I had two bowls of it. One was just, like, salt. And Parmesan cheese, and the other one was salt and like a caramel seasoning. And I do that a lot.
Ooh,
so
can I ask you a question?
Yes,
did you
please.
Have them both at the same time, or did you eat the savory one and then the sweet one?
The first, I did the what would the Parmesan cheese be? Would that be that
savory.
Would be savory? I
yes.
did that one first, mm-hmm. and then I did the caramel.
Awesome.
You had like a dessert
Got
corn.
It.
Exactly.
A dessert
exactly.
bowl.
A dessert bowl. So that's what I did yesterday, and I feel like I've talked about those flavors before, so we're not going to go that route. What I did this time was I went online to try and find a recipe for next time. Now, I don't know what movie we're going to watch next.
This
gonna
is
watch
perfect.
Next. So hopefully, regardless, this is what I'm going to eat when we watch this movie. I'm going to go with I'm going to have a glass. Here's where it does fall in with Batman. Champagne. There is a scene
Ooh.
Where...
Do you have to drink six cases?
open six more cases.
Should it be six? Six is good.
Six is good.
Six is good. Robert Wool.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But there is a scene where I can't remember what her name is, but Love walks into the room and the Joker is drinking a glass of champagne.
Jerry Hall?
Yes, thank you.
Yep.
So a glass of champagne should be had with this bowl of popcorn. And I'm going to try it with wasabi. I'm going to have one bowl with wasabi powder, which is
Ooh.
Available for popcorn. And I'm going to have another bowl with rosemary. I've been hearing...
What?
Yes.
Dang,
that
dude.
Sounds crazy.
Shit is real, girl. Shit is real.
You know what? You should pop the rosemary one with some olive oil, because that shit will be popping.
I believe that. I believe that.
Wait,
I believe it.
Are you just going to get like Reg's rosemary, or are we talking about like a seasoning salt rosemary?
See, now, here is where I just have the information. I love, people know how much I love popcorn, and they just send me information. I was sent an article from the New York Times called Heirloom Popcorn Helps a Snack Reinvent Itself, and it's by Kim Severson. And in this, she talks about the history of popcorn, and she mentions popcorn factories that... right now are trying to really, like, go against Orville Redenbacher's way of, like, hey, just put salt and butter and you're fine. Like, it's probably not the healthiest way to go about it. You should probably use something besides a microwave. So there's, like, these companies that are coming out. The only one that I was able to kind of like look at their website was Quinn Popcorn, which I don't know anything about, so
hey,
I'm not like...
Hey, send us some popcorn, Quinn Popcorn.
But they're they are still a microwave-based company, it seems like, but they do things with their kernels, so it's not as bad for you when you eat it. It seems very farm-friendly, if that's the right term.
Sure.
So that's the only company I've been able to look into so far. But what I'm definitely going to do next time is do the wasabi powder. One awesome. With just wasabi powder and one with just rosemary, because I want to be able to tell the differences in flavor between them. And like I said, they will be had with a glass of champagne.
I love this.
I initially thought, let's go with a red wine, because red is kind of purplish, a la the Joker. But I feel like one of the last times I talked to, I did a What's Poppin' wine was brought up. So let's change it, yo.
F that ass.
Champagne.
Let's do the champagne.
Champagne.
Champagne, as my parents would say. And if anybody out there, I've also had somebody sent me a vine that they did of a What's Poppin' on their own oven. Please feel free to send me any recipes. Coconut oil was a great recipe. Let me know what's going on, because I'm in the process of new things. Blow my mind up. And if you try the wasabi powder and the rosemary, let me know what you think. I want to know.
This is a great subject to bring up this week, especially because my folks are coming here celebrate Thanksgiving with Rhea and I. And my dad is a long time stove popper.
Is that right?
Like connoisseur.
That's what's up.
And then Rhea makes us our popcorn now on the stove. So when I called my folks and I said, is there anything that you want me to make sure that I have to kind of make you feel comfortable, fruit or drink? And my dad said, water, because...
I'm really glad he reminded us.
I don't know what life he thinks I lead. I said, don't worry about it.
I'll get that turn back on.
Yeah, we got you square. We will have water. I know you heard about the drought, but we got water for you. And then I said, is there anything else? And he said, popcorn.
Mm.
Obviously. And
I like him already.
And a, you know, big saucepan or whatever. And then oil. He has a very specific oil. And
I thought I was going to make it for him.
And then I said, well, I hope you understand, Dad, that like in our house, you know, Rhea makes popcorn. Mm-hmm. And he said, no problem. I will sit down and allow myself to be served as a guest.
Respect.
So this is a real passing of the popcorn torch.
Better not burn it.
It's an important moment. It's important.
It's a huge deal.
Better not burn that torch.
Yeah.
I was also thinking if we did Interstellar last week and the movie that was all about there's no corn left.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't realize, like, I how did that not break my brain?
I know,
popcorn. I'm surprised I didn't, like, my head didn't explode.
You're shoving everybody's popcorn
movie.
In your mouth.
Ah,
this is the last
it's all mine! Yeah. It's all mine!
Pretty sad day. Well, the corn does make it for
day.
A while, though.
Yeah, but not forever.
But
corn
not
makes
forever.
It for a while.
And
not
now
forever.
That we brought up Interstellar, can I just say that somebody tweeted at me that the talking heads at the beginning of that movie are from Ken Burns' The Dust Bowl?
That's right.
Yes.
So thank you for sending me that.
Yes.
Still don't like that choice.
Some of them are and some of them aren't. I think.
Yeah, it's just
equally.
A little confusing and I don't like that about it.
Well,
yeah.
All right.
So,
okay, Rhea,
that's all.
Thank you so much. And also, let's get back here in a minute. Well, let's go take a break. Allow our popcorn to settle.
Mm.
And then we'll be back in a minute with a review of this week's Dick Flick Batman.
I'm Jesse Thorne.
I'm Jordan Morris.
The federal government has millions of dollars in programs and opportunities that you need to seize today.
You're a taxpayer, right? Well, then you've got it coming.
Thanks to Uncle Sam. You can get grant programs for veterans.
Postage stamps that'll ensure your mail gets there in a timely fashion.
Fruit for you and your family.
Child care for your children that turns them into super soldiers.
Get $1 million to open your own lake.
Useful power tools that are easy on your soft, delicate hands.
Your own personal radioactive brick.
More sexual attention from everyone at the used bookstore.
Greyhound tickets.
Soft, gentle kisses from TV's John Goodman.
A real narwhal.
Athletic socks filled with stew.
A valuable pamphlet on millet.
Your father's approval.
Don't wait, right now.
For all of this and more, drop us a line.
Jordan Jesse Go, 123 iTunes Street, or wherever you download podcasts.
Welcome back. I just am nailing all the theme songs this week.
Kill it.
You're doing it.
Kill it. It's like Danny Elfman was in the room.
It is like Danny Elfman's in the room. Where is he? He's such a little elf man.
He's oingoing his boingo.
So we chose Batman, which is on Netflix Watch Instant. And Rhea did the little research for me this week because I was super behind. There's no year on here. What is
1989. I'm sorry.
I thought so. 1989. Of course, this is directed by Tim Burton. And it's early Burton, you know, obviously. Well, we can talk about that in a second. But so basic premise, the Batman comes to save Gotham City. How weird. That's the plot of everything involving Batman. And who is he saving from this time? The old Joker, played by Jack Nicholson. So Jack Nicholson's in this movie. Michael Keaton's in this movie. Kim Basinger, Jack Palance, Billy Dee Williams. It's written by Bob Kane. That's the Batman characters because it's his thing. But also the story is by Sam Hamm. Are you kidding me, Sam Hamm? Sam and Warren Scarron? This is written by Sam Hamm and Warren Scarron?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough to believe. So the Joker, it's an origin story for the Nicholson Joker. We see him. Hey, spoilers are going to happen right now. He falls in a vat of chemicals. He's disfigured. How does he fall in there? Well, he's set up by his boss, a crime boss in the city, and then becomes a homicidal maniac, setting up large scale but humorous in his mind terror stunts, like, for instance, poisoning cosmetics so that people die laughing. And of course, Michael Keaton has to save the day. So I did want to mention a couple things about this movie. Very interesting Tim Burton movie, just because it's so early.
Yeah, he only did Pee-wee's Big Adventure and Beetlejuice before this.
And you can see, though, looking at this movie, I almost wanted to just, like, have Tim Burton watch this movie again so that Tim Burton could remind himself that it's okay if he is Tim Burton-y but scales it back a little. Do you guys know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Yeah. That Tim Burton seems like the right Tim Burton.
That's what I'm saying.
You know? Like, there's like, hey.
All the angles are in there. The sound stage is in there. Everything looks the same in terms of not necessarily having the right weight. Like, some of his things seem, like, foamy, you know? That's always been his thing. And
he embraces the fake, you know? He, like, embraces.
That's what I'm saying.
He embraces the facade and.
Everything looks like a diorama.
Phoniness and stuff. He loves that. I mean, it's.
A lot of great practical.
Yes.
Practical effects.
And I think this.
Effects.
Yes.
I don't know what word I said.
Yeah,
there
great
was,
practical but. Effects. And some like hand drawn animation. I hadn't seen this movie, I think, since I was a kid and I saw it in the theater. And I didn't realize that like there's hand drawn, like Batman is standing on a roof and then walks back in the door. And it's like hand drawn animation.
Yeah, that shadow that turns around and like the
so
cape
cool.
on. That's
it's
badass.
Super
so
cool. And
that's
it's
badass.
Also. It looks great because he didn't really use any effects of the time. Like, everything kind of looks...
some explosions.
I mean, it looks like stuff that, like, a kid could do now, but it also doesn't not look good because it's well done for the time and it also fits the tone of the movie. If you're going to have, like, fakish-looking explosions because you don't know how to make CGI realistic-looking explosions, that at least put it in a movie where everything's supposed to be looking a little fake because then it looks totally normal. And I think this movie and Edward Scissorhands are actually my favorite of his movies.
Oh.
They're very similar in terms of tone.
Wow.
No?
Big Beetlejuice fan myself.
Oh, I don't really love Beetlejuice.
I think Beetlejuice is actually my favorite movie of his because I feel like Batman doesn't count as movies as his because they're like their own thing.
What about Scissorhands? Not a fan?
I've never really been a big Scissorhands fan.
Wow.
I don't know. I just never did.
I love it.
I enjoy it. I like Edward Scissorhands. I think
I like Pee-wee. Pee-wee's Big Adventure is a big deal to me.
I don't think it was until Edward Scissorhands that I started being like Tim Burton. I think like with Pee-wee's Big Adventure, I was like, this is a Pee-wee movie. And with Batman, I was like, Batman and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
And then by the time Edward Scissorhands came around, then he had a history. And I was like, oh, yeah, I liked those movies. I'm probably going to like this movie. Or I'm at least interested to see what you're going to do this time around. But before that, I was just like, whoever.
You know, I just realized something based on what you were saying, Ricky, which is like, I actually have disliked so many of his recent movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I think part of it is that I don't know that he should be using digital effects. Like, when he uses practical effects, it's fun to watch, and it's like a storybook, and it's super cool. And now I feel like when he mixes digital stuff in, it just loses the charm, and it just turns to, like, cheese.
Yeah.
It's just cheese ball to the max.
It's very, like, in-your-face and, like, garish, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, Beetlejuice, if they made it again, I would hate it, not because, like, oh... Not because, oh, I want to see some, I don't want to see this movie touched, but because, like, you're right. I don't want to see that movie made with CGI.
They wouldn't use, like, teeny models and stuff.
No, nothing would be real. And that was what was so cool about it. It was like watching claymation or something, but real.
Which, by the way, I also love The Nightmare Before Christmas. I
love that movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that one's fun.
And again, that's somebody manipulating something, you know, physical in a physical space. And I just think, like, when he lost the ability to manipulate things in a physical space, I think he really lost a lot of his magic.
Yeah, I mean, when I haven't even seen the Willy Wonka that he did, but, I mean, just the trailer gave me a headache. I was like...
It's pretty terrible.
Or not Willy Wonka, not that one. I did see that one.
Alice in Wonderland?
And I wasn't crazy about it. Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah,
that's
the Alice in Wonderland is... It builds to a very strange dance sequence. That's not really revealing anything, but it's just builds to this really this crescendo moment that ends up in a weird CGI dance sequence.
Hmm.
And, you know, the thing that I love about Tim Burton is that it looks like you're watching a puppet show. Like, it feels like it could be happening right in front of you.
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah,
it's like,
I guess that's what I mean
like
about Beetlejuice.
It's like these little wooden dolls, and it's, you know, moving around. It feels real.
You feel like you're in that attic.
Yes.
Looking at the actual model that's actually in that attic.
Yeah.
Yes. So he's great at that, and that's why I love this movie. And I feel like if somebody would just take away his computer.
Right.
I don't
give him less money.
Yes. No, just same amount of money, but give him less, like, just a
put
knock,
strings
knock out
attached
all of
to
his,
it.
Yeah.
Then
knock
he has
out all
to
of his
attach
electronics.
Strings to everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was
all
a
right.
great joke.
So let's do some best and worst. Rhea, what's the worst part of this movie?
The worst part of this movie is still, I think, my same worst part when I was 8 years old and watching it the first time, or however old I was, 7 on VHS, because I didn't see it in the theater, is Kim Basinger's screaming drives me crazy. I actually, watching it this time, because I haven't seen it in a really long time just because, but I used to watch this VHS over and over and over and over and over again, so much so that I, like, memorized the dialogue between Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny
at
the beginning of the tape that we're selling, like, Warner Brothers merchandise. Anyway, and watching it again, I'm like, oh, Kim Basinger and Vicki Vale are, like, kind of awesome in this. Like, she doesn't have, like, nail polish on, and I don't know. But she screams so much, and I know it's like a character choice, but good gravy. It's a lot. So that's my worst part.
I mean, it's definitely him trying to act out the panels of a comic book where there'd be a woman screaming, but it definitely is too much.
23 times, 6 gasps.
Good God. That's a lot. Ricky, what's the worst part of this movie for you?
I just saw you with a clipboard that's 18. Check. I feel the way about you do Vicki Vale screaming as I do in Kate Capshaw. Is it Capshaw?
Yeah.
In Temple of Doom, where I'm just like, stop screaming.
She's
I will
the worst.
Be on it, like that's those scratches of those pain that you hear that whenever I watch Temple of Doom, I'm like, ugh, here comes
terrible.
Another one. It's awful.
You're embarrassing me, and you're offending them. Eat it.
Sorry, that was a little. He's got a little Temple of Doom right there. He's got a little Temple of Doom right there.
Yep. Kate Capshaw, also, by the way, really sad about what you have to say. I mean, because she just spent the rest of her life in abject poverty.
Yeah, absolutely.
She got to keep all those dresses, though.
I'm just kidding. I think she's doing all right. I think she's.
Oh, Mrs. Spielberg?
Yeah,
Mrs. Spielberg.
Right.
Mrs. Spielberg, she's doing okay. My least favorite part about this is. Like, actually, especially now, like, watching, seeing so many Tim Burton movies, there's always, like, a part in Tim Burton movies where everything stops happening for a while.
Yeah.
And you're just like, hey, you gonna get back to that story? Or are we just gonna, like, hang out with these people for a minute? And there's a part that's in Batman funny. Where you're just like, hey, is he going to go start fighting the Joker again?
Is this a Batman movie?
Yeah, or what's going on right here? And that's like a little like, it just makes, the movie is like going like at such a, all right, this is happening, this is setting this up, this is setting this up. And then it just kind of stalls for a minute. And then at the end, they're like, oh yeah, let's have this parade. So that's like, there's just like this structure flaw that he always, and it's usually like in the last like two thirds of the movie or like halfway point in the movie, you're like, hey, nothing's been happening for a minute. Like, I like what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
But I know that we're just kind of like stuck at a point until the next thing is going to come up that pushes us to the ending.
I mean, thank God for Jack Nicholson in this movie for that reason. Because he's like giving you stuff to watch even while nothing is. This is interesting because I think my worst part is just that there isn't really a lot of focus on Batman, and that's okay with me because I think this is actually a movie about the world of Batman, not about Batman, which is okay with me. I like that about it. But it is a little weird that, like, he doesn't actually seem that concerned. He doesn't really seem like he puts in long hours. Bruce Wayne is like home a lot. It seems like he's like making calls a little too late or like leaving the house a little too late. Like he's not a prompt Batman. He's not always there at the right time.
Yeah.
And that it's part of the charm of the movie, but it is definitely like a, after especially having seen like the Christopher Nolan movies where Batman is either like, You see him suffering or you see him fighting. Like, you see the whole thing. You spend kind of 24 hours a day with him. And I don't love the Nolan Batmans, but it's interesting to go back to something where you're just, like, kind of sometimes seeing him. He's, like, watching lots of stuff on TV. He's, like, not really... He fights, like, one time. Like, it's just a, you know?
Yeah.
Also, if this movie is, like, the first time that he's being introduced... Then, like, did he just finish the Batcave? Like, because he has, like, 20 TVs that, first of all show the same thing, which is also hilarious.
I do like
he's
that.
Not watching individual things. He's watching 20 of the same thing. And he's got, like, his car, his suit. He's, like, super good at parking his car. He's, like, amazing at putting on his suit. He's great at using all of his toys. And it's also the first time Gotham has heard of him?
What's he been
doing?
The opening sequence is setting you up that he's been around.
Yeah.
But he's like, just not, he's started just like, to.
Now is the city is just now starting to take note of him, but he has been doing what he's been doing for a while.
But like, not that long.
I feel like he's been doing it for a minute.
Because I feel like, isn't it weird that nobody believe? Oh, is there are like cell phone cameras not a thing?
No, that's not a thing back then. I think you're. Why hasn't anybody like got like put him on Instagram
why,
yet?
Yeah, why
is that what you're wondering?
Like, I just don't get
why
isn't
there a Tumblr
no...
page?
Yeah, I don't. Okay.
I mean, there's cars with vinyl tops in them in this movie.
That's actually...
It's so a while ago.
Part of the complaints that I had about the later Batman movies was there was so much, like... There'd be, like, an action shot of Batman, like, in, like, the trial scene of, like, Two-Face. And it'd be, like, this... Practically, like, a glamour shot of Batman, like, going after somebody. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's... Who's getting these amazing pictures of Batman? Nobody knows where Batman is. That's what's the great thing about him is you're just like, what the fuck did I just see? What was that? Sorry, I didn't mean to jump any further into the series there.
All right, so what are we talking about in terms of best parts? Rhea.
Oh, boy. Well, there's a lot of best parts, and something just popped into my head and then popped right back out when we were talking about this. But
what's popping?
Yeah,
your
come
ideas.
On now.
I think that this is, to me, this is my Batman. Like, the Christopher Nolan Batmans are not my Batman. Like, not at all. I enjoyed them when I saw them. I enjoyed The Dark Knight when I saw it in the theater. When I watched it afterwards, the returns depreciated. I didn't keep enjoying it. I liked it less and less and less until I only liked the Joker in The Dark Knight. And I say that because this time when I watched it as an adult, I realized how much I love the Joker in this movie and how effective and interesting it is to see the villain's backstory as opposed to the hero's backstory. Which is an interesting flip, and I'm sure a lot of people at the time were really upset about it because the Joker doesn't really have a backstory, and that's what's so crazy about him and makes him even more terrifying. But I liked seeing that transformation, and I liked seeing that Two-Face of him. And I also really enjoyed the use of the Bruce Wayne origin story as well. That wasn't, it was part of the movie, but it wasn't the movie over and over again, a bunch of times, Wayne murder. Like, it was, I liked how they sort of did that fake out at the beginning of the movie, thinking that that's what it's going to be. It's, yeah, it's just great.
Well,
and I love, I mean, Jack Nicholson's, everything he does in this movie is perfect. Like, every choice that he makes, all of his, like, I'm sure he improvised a lot of those lines. We got a live one here is hilarious to me. I think it's awesome.
There's a lot of great detail in this movie, just great detail. And I think,
I mean, his suits are amazing. You know, like his cruise jackets are like, I want one of those jackets.
Yeah, I think what you're saying actually is how I feel about the Nolan Batmans too, which is just like, I think I saw the first one in the theater and was like, oh, okay, it's a new thing or whatever. And then, I don't know. I mean, newness doesn't always define a series, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like the, it can, but, you know, the weird offshoot alien in like Alien 4 or 3 or something doesn't replace the xenomorph. And
right.
I think,
mm-hmm,
like, it's cool to see new iterations, but I think this is also my baseline. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
This is
also the Elfman score. Come on now.
And I think
it's like a brilliant score.
I just think, yeah, the score is great. I just think also really cool, weird fight sequences that just...
they're so simple.
They're so simple. Everything just makes a lot of sense, and it's like a really inhabitable world.
Oh, yeah,
I loved
and
it.
I read this on IMDb as we were watching it. In the final sequence through the church steeple thing, the Joker calls for transportation for 2 and 10 minutes. Well, he says 5 minutes. Make it 10.
Then
and it's
it
actual
10.
Time.
Is
from
it?
When they go, when he says that to when the helicopter shows up, which is just a, like an awesome choice for it to actually be 10 minutes. Like this crazy heightened world, but having moments actually take the amount of time. I also love when Batman turns into Beetlejuice in Vicki Vale's apartment for a second when he's like, come on! I love that.
You want to get nuts?
Let's get nuts!
Nuts. Ricky, what about you?
This is one of my favorite movies of all time. All goddamn time. I knew just like Rhea said, I mean, I still have that video cassette, that VHS tape.
Did you have that same bumper at the beginning?
Oh,
I'm
hell
talking
yeah.
About? Yeah.
Yeah, I bought it.
That's awesome.
I think it came out it came out the week of Thanksgiving. So it's actually, we're actually doing this
week
that it was released on VHS. And yeah, I watched it like 10 times that night. I would get made fun of for knowing the lines of dialogue. But fuck y'all, look where I am at, and look where you're at back in Chicago. yeah, I mean, everything, yes, to what Rhea said. I mean, but things that I tried to pick out things that I hadn't noticed before. I like the fact that Batman has just kind of like been around at this point. That moment when he's trying to tell Vicki Vale, like, hey, I'm Batman, which is also great when she walks in, he's like, I'm Batman. Usually a movie, he's the hero is just becoming the hero and is having to deal with the responsibility of, can I handle this? I like that he's, you can already tell, which is a great Michael Keaton casting, just the way he is. Like, this guy has another life where he does shit, and I want to know what it is, because I'm pretty sure it's kind of like far out there. Like, he just has that behind his eyes look to him. So I love that you're kind of seeing Batman when he's just realizing, like, you know what? I think now I want to stop doing this, as opposed to should I be even doing this? He knows he should be doing this, but now he's ready to kind of like step away from it. But obviously he can't.
Can I just add something to what you were saying real quick?
Yeah.
I also love that he like has that stutter step about telling her, but it's more, I think, maybe just like him not wanting to be close to somebody. Like, it's like less about protecting the identity, because then when she finds out, it's like, he doesn't make that big of a deal about it. Like,
yeah,
he's not, like, pissed at Alfred. He's not like, why the fuck would you bring her here? And
yeah,
then she's also not like, what is this? Is all crazy. Like, both of them are adults in
yeah
this weird way.
Yeah,
about
yeah, yeah,
just like,
no, absolutely.
No, he just is a bachelor. He doesn't really talk to people about this. He's really closed off because his parents died. Like,
yeah,
there's a much more weirdly logical way that
absolutely
they interact about this. In a completely illogical world that doesn't mm-hmm make any sense,
mm-hmm,
like the way that they interact about that might be my best part.
Yeah.
And it kind of just rides off of what you're saying, where like his stuttering about it seems like it's like the same conversation you'd have if you're like, how do I tell her I have a kid? Or, you know, like
exactly,
something like that where
exactly,
it's like,
yeah,
this is like a really normal way of doing it. And then,
yeah,
then she's just like, they don't even have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
When she finds out.
Yeah, it's just kind of like
there's never a conversation.
Right.
It's like, are we
going to
date?
Yeah.
They talk about whether or not they're going to date.
Right.
She's never like, can you stop this? And he's like, I can't. Like, there's like not this weird, she's not taking anything away from him.
Right.
It's he's like also very really nice to her. The whole movie, like, we noticed that too.
Nice.
He's like nice to her.
That's what I feel like he's done this for a while now where he knows how to handle this situation, or he's prepared himself for this situation as opposed to, goddamn, I have to deal with this and I just have to deal with what's going on in my head about where I'm at with it. He already knows where he's at with it. He's looking for his out. And that's just like a great conversation that that they have. The reveals in this movie, all the character reveals in this movie, the superhero reveals are great. Joker first coming out is great. Fucking Batman, just the shadow that we see from is great. And then coming down, I think Tim Burton is great at giving us reveals or like the creation of superheroes. Like just the fact that you said that, we're seeing the Joker's origin story and not Batman's. But we still kind of get to see Batman first showing up. The way it's handled, fantastic. And what is that? Is that everything? Sorry, I love this movie so goddamn much. And I feel if I don't say everything, I'm going to be disrespectful to it. I've always thought this is my Batman too. Like when people, I remember when Dark Knight came out and people were shitting on Jack Nicholson, and he like, there's just no comparison to it. Like they're two different roles. Like I compare Batman more to Richard Donner's Superman. Like those movies have more of a through line than this Batman to the new Dark Knight movies. Like this is
they're
mine,
of a different
that's yours,
time.
Exactly.
It's also completely
and it doesn't make it wrong
ridiculous
or that he's
to take anything away from Jack Nicholson's
for sure
performance. He's like at the he's a big huge get, and he's stretching. I mean, obviously Jack Nicholson has also always been able to play people that were in moments of mania, but mm-hmm. I just mean like, he's wearing all this makeup. He's a fully adult man at the time.
He's
like,
prancing around
like
a fool.
Dancing. Yeah.
He's
and
wearing like little, like the ribbon ties
he's
that
amazing
hang down. You know?
I feel like
who is, I fucking hate those people.
Jack Nicholson's Joker went to theater school, and Heath Ledger's Joker probably wrote Buried Child. If you know theater, you'll know them. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, they come
nope
from those two different...
But I feel like it's perfectly apt.
Well, all right. So just to conclude, so Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, we got a live one here. How many live ones here?
We got 5 live ones here.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's a very biased... I can't say that there's less than 5.
Rhea, scale of 1 to 5. Where does he get those wonderful toys?
I am gonna give it 4.75, and I'm only taking away a quarter because why the hell did you waste Billy Dee Williams? I understand that
sure
they thought
girl
he was gonna come back
girl
in Batman Returns, and he was gonna be Two-Face, but they changed their minds and all that stuff. But like, he's so clearly in it for a reason at the beginning of the movie, and then he just gets lost in the shuffle because they like it just really bothers me because like it doesn't make any sense. Also, why is the Gotham City flag the Indiana State flag? That's what I want to know.
I can't believe like just come
I
on
just shut
something
up. Just
I just
shut
learned
up
something new about Batman. I had no idea.
Now, yeah, watch it next time.
I am
in his
giving
office
Batman on a scale of 1 to 5. Wow, Keaton's hairpiece is bad. 5. That is the worst wig
it's pretty
I
bad
have seen outside
I never
of
noticed
Cheers
before.
Outside of the Cheers bar on Ted Danson's head.
What?
That is the worst wig.
I like that hairpiece as well. Is that a Michael Keaton hairpiece? Is he wearing a hairpiece
oh
in that
yeah
movie?
For sure.
Oh, my God.
Is
oh,
it?
He is.
All right.
It looks like a little, you know, when I first
hat
met Rhea.
It looks like a little hat.
When I first met Rhea, she was like, my hair looks like a microphone. And I would never understood what she meant by that. That's what Keaton's hair
yeah
looks like.
It does look like
it
a
looks
microphone
like a microphone. All right, so we will leave you with this. What do you think about this week, Ricky?
This week, I mean, Jesus Christ, I was thinking about a lot of shit. Now I'm just thinking about one thing.
Well, we can talk about that.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I'm thinking about is the day we're recording this, we just found out with the Ferguson. We just got an announcement from Ferguson. So I'm just thinking, we're terrible people, and we prove it again and again. And it's really fucking frustrating. And, I mean, I'm a positive person, but we're terrible. We're so terrible to each other. And I like to have good thoughts about that we're going to be all right, but unfortunately, I also read history, and history shows that we're terrible people. So it's very frustrating. And I hate how angry I get about this, because I try and be a real good person and not allow that negative shit in my life. So when it does, I just want to fucking break everything. So it's very hard to me, but for me to be like, hey, just send out that love and everything's going to be okay. Because it's like, I know where I live and I know the mindset that I have on those things, but who am I to fucking say, hey, it's going to be all right where you are? Because right now we just told you it's okay to kill your children again. So the downside or the ups, I mean, I don't know if there's a fucking downside or an upside. I know that we have to be good to each other. And that's such a fucking easy way to say it. But I mean, what am I going to do? Is fucking say follow the laws? I mean, the laws do not work for you. That's just, I mean, prove to me that it does outside of like, well, we're not killing each other every day. Yeah, I know. But young fucking kids are being murdered by the people we're supposed to be trusting.
Rhea, what are you?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about the same thing, and I don't want to step on Ricky's words too much. So I guess I would just say I'm trying to have some sort of hope that people will take this and put it into their lives and try to move forward with something and realize that, like, just because something doesn't directly affect you and you don't see it every day doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I think that everybody has a responsibility to try to make this country and this world a more peaceful place. But I really do think that white people in America need to wake up and realize, like, what's going on in their country, and that they need to help people and be kinder and be more open and be more quiet about themselves and listen to what's going on for other people that are not themselves.
I really appreciate you both talking about this. And obviously, I'm thinking about it as well. I think that it's very... It surprises me that when we hear people talk about racism being solved, it is so often white people.
It's often white people.
When we hear people talk about homophobia being solved, it is so often straight people. And when we talk about misogyny being solved, it is so often men. And I think that it is really important to remember the place that you are standing in when you are speaking, because it is very easy to forget. We all only see the world through our eyes. We all only see the world through our eyes. And sometimes because we see the world through our eyes, we don't realize where we're standing. We don't realize our position in the world. And I think that sometimes people can say things without even malice in their heart. It's, you know, just, no, I don't see this. I'm a guy. I don't, you know, I don't understand why yes, all women would be in the world. I'm a straight person. I don't understand why we need to constantly talk about equal marriage. I'm a white person. We have a black president. Why does the black president have to come on and talk about a black kid getting killed? Clearly, we've already solved this. And I just think that if somebody is telling you that they are hurting, and your response is to say, I don't believe you. I think you're maybe not the best listener. I think you could maybe do a slightly better job being empathic, because this is why we're on the world. That's why we're in the world, is to, you know, try and connect with each other, try and feel each other's pain, and try to make like one organism that works together in a way that makes sense. So I am tonight thinking about my privilege a lot. You know, sometimes as a woman and as a gay woman, I get really caught up in feeling like I'm persecuted and that the world is very hard for me. And there are ways in which that it is. But I also think that if I were to be shot, I believe that my body would be moved from the street faster than it was in Mike Brown's case. I also think if people came out to protest my death, that they would probably be met with riot gear less. And I also think that if I were to be shot by the police, probably there would be a trial. And I'm not saying there would be a conviction, but I think there probably would be a trial. I put myself in his shoes, in Mike Brown's shoes, and it doesn't matter what he did or didn't do. I think about what would happen if that was me and the way that the world would react, and it would be different. This wouldn't be what would have happened. The last many months wouldn't have been what had happened. So that means that there's a problem. That means that there's a discrepancy. And we need to be aware of that. So there we go. And we do appreciate you guys on Thanksgiving. We appreciate you. We appreciate Lindsay, who does such a great job for us editing and producing our show. And I appreciate Rhea and Ricky, who have worked tirelessly on this show and have made it so much fun. And thank you guys so much for all your hard work. And for next week, please, with your families this weekend, watch Batman Returns. It is available on Netflix Watch Instant. It is going to make your watching of Batman even more complete. We love you guys. We're thinking of you guys. For this week, you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.